Anyway, I am Albert Contreras. I am the president of the OCB alumni, and let's see, I think we should kind of go around the room and see who all is here. We only have one mic, I guess, right?
That is right.
Is anyone able to, I guess, I can...
Just everybody yell.
Just say it really
quick. Oh, okay, well, then just everybody speak out and, okay. Okay.
Albert?
So, huh? Yes, who's to...
Would you like me to hand the mic around?
Oh, thank you. What's your name?
Ron.
Okay. Hi, Dirk Neihardt. I was at OCB, I think, 1999-2000.
Okay, you're next.
Hi, I'm Kathy Morales. Hello, everybody.
Okay, where are you from?
I live in San Francisco.
Okay. Were you at OCB?
About 3 years ago. About 3 years ago.
I'm Connie Bateman from Sacramento, and I went to OCB just this past summer for 2 months. I was on the fast track because I had to go back to work.
Anita, you can hold it if you want.
Hi, I'm Anita March from Livermore, California, and I was at OCB in 1991, and I went back to work.
Richard Harmon, I'm a friend of OCB.
Ellie Harmon, 1960.
Go, Ellie!
David Jackson, I went to OCB in 1992 to 93 and went back to work.
Art Manzanares from Pomona, I was there in 99.
Okay. Sheila Bolaños, I was at OCB 2007 and I'm back at work.
Joe Xavier, Deputy Director for the Department of Rehabilitation, and I am not an alumni of OCB.
Okay, and I'm Catherine Bales, and I'm the District Administrator for Blind Field Services. And no, I did not go to OCB. I went to the Illinois Visually Handicapped Institute in Chicago.
Chicago,
yes.
Hello, my name is Bill Berry. I did not attend OCB. I went to Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind instead.
Did you study there?
Yeah, college prep.
I'm Debbie Berry, your vice president. I went to OCB right after I graduated from high school. I did not want to go to that place. I wanted to start college in January. I didn't want to leave.
This is Judy Wilkinson. I was at OCB back in the Middle Ages, and I was a dorm counselor for a number of years in the late 70s, early 80s.
I know you guys.
I'm Linda Woodbury, and you'll be hearing from me later, but I'm the new administrator for OCB.
I'm Nils Langley. I am the new SSA at the Orientation Center for the Blind in Albany office. And I am there for about a couple months, and I enjoy very much what I've been doing. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm Ron Bateman. I'm Connie Bateman's husband. And we have one more person here. Would you like to say something?
Sure.
I'm David Mandel. I was at OCB in 1966, part of the first group of teenagers that were allowed to come. And boy, did we give them a run for their money, but it was great.
Probably hasn't recovered yet. Okay. But you had fun. Okay, that's good.
Okay, here you go. Here's your mic.
And I'm Albert Contreras. I graduated in 79, and it was... I loved going to OCB. I was there 78-79. So, it was really neat. Okay, well, we seem to have... I want to see... did anyone... Because I thought we'd had a note-taker, but there was a problem just with Connie's notes. Did anyone take notes on the last meeting or take possibly a minute there? Because I have an idea of what happened, but I want to just make sure if anyone kind of had an idea. Basically, okay. All right. Here, Debbie.
I was going to take... Okay, thank you. The meeting was called to order by myself as vice president, and it was around this time, 11:30 on Halloween. That's right. I had to think back there. It was Halloween. Everyone introduced themselves. I read the minutes, and they were approved as read. They'd better have been. Then the treasurer gave his report, and he'll give the ending balance in his report, and so I won't repeat it because I don't know what the balance was. Then, as far as I know, what we did the rest of the time since last October was kind of nostalgia because of our organization's 75-year anniversary. We all went down memory lane and talked about some of our memories, both good and bad and funny and sad, of OCB, and the meeting was adjourned. Did I leave anything out that anyone can think of?
I think we will now have the treasurer's report from Bill, and
just a minute.
Okay, I'm Bill Berry, your treasurer, and I would like to say that I've enjoyed being treasurer so far, and the current balance in our checking account is $540.80. That's after paying a $50 check to the CCB. Yes. Right. And so anyone who hasn't paid their dues, please do so.
And how much they are?
Oh, $10 a year for the dues. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone move to accept the treasurer's report?
Do we accept the treasurer's report? Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Okay. All right. Let's see. One thing we kind of need to look at, because we had elected a secretary, and for different reasons, the person we elected has not been able to attend and isn't here. And I just think we should really have a good person to do minutes and so the secretary is Sharon Benefield, but she has not been here.
And
we don't have anyone taking minutes now. That's another thing too. We really need to see about
somebody
doing that. Oh,
here you go.
Are you sure, Judy? Because I have a. Do you have a you have a note taker. I have a Victor with me. So if you want to do it, what do you want to do?
Would you mind doing it, David?
I can do it.
Great.
Okay.
But have the treasurer give the ending balance again.
Okay. One moment. Okay. I'm done with the mic.
Mr. Berry.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the current balance in the after the payment of $50 to CCB, the current balance is $540.80.
Okay.
All right. Let me
take
you. Okay. Here you go, Albert.
Okay. So, I think we do need to possibly have a special nomination or election for a secretary, though, because I think we need to have one. Oh, well, I had one other question, though, before we do that. David, because I'm not sure, I need to get a proper constitution, but are the OCB officers for 2 years, right? For 2 years. So then actually we'd be having elections in October then, or nominations. Okay. So then I'm wondering how what people feel, whether we should just have this 1 minute and then see, you know, just have a new secretary in October. But what do people think?
I'd like one now for the next 35 years.
Oh, no, for the next 35. Oh, try and get one. Does anyone want to nominate anyone for
secretary? I'd like to nominate Connie Bateman.
I decline because I don't think I can make it to all the conventions.
As secretary, no, I decline. I'm already secretary in two organizations. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's see, Judy, would you?
David Jackson.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Would you, David?
Here's the deal. I have committed myself to doing OCB.
GBD in the fall. So it's very difficult for me to actually. I'll do the minutes this time. I'll get them written up and I'll get them squared away for the person who needs to do this the next time in the fall.
Can I make a suggestion?
Okay, this is Debbie again with a suggestion. You know, in BRLC, the secretary and I kind of had an understanding that if one wasn't there, the other one would take minutes. It was just kind of built in, you know, between us, and or the other person would record the meeting and submit it to the person, because there are times when either financially or whatever somebody is unable to go. So if we could work out something like that, where you know,
I don't see you jumping up and down accepting this offer.
See, I would be willing to do it, but I'm already elected vice president. Oh, okay. All right. But that really should be built in, you know, where if someone is unable to come, then you know, they let us know and make arrangements for somebody else either to take notes or to tape the meeting.
Yeah, okay, Debbie.
Okay.
I'll do it.
All right.
And I'm here. Seeing 10 people.
Coming.
I think what we'll do is for now have David do it, if it's okay with you doing it this time, David, and then possibly in the fall when we're going to have new officers, we'll just try to work a new slate. How does that sound? And instead of, you know, putting it in now, and for now we'll just do this and then we'll just have a new set of officers. How does that sound to everyone?
That sounds great.
Okay. That's good. Okay. So thank you, David, for doing that minutes for us. Okay. Okay. I think now I would like to have our new administrator speak. I'd like to have you speak, Linda, about telling us who you are and how things are going at the center and some of your plans. So I'd like to introduce Linda Woodbury.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to stand up because I'm so used to speaking standing up. Sitting down just doesn't feel right. You know, as I work each day at OCB, I realize what an honor, and I take such pride in what I call my campus. And it's not my campus, but it feels good to walk around there and know some of what we're doing with the students today and see the changes. But as I sit here in this group, and I hear Ellie tell me that they're not having... Is it Ellie? Is that your name? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Ellie. Yes. Thank you. I hear her say they had much more fun than they're having today. I'm thinking, well, maybe I better buy some of those video games and some of those other things to keep them busy. And as I hear all of you talk and take the kind of pride that you have in the life that you've designed for yourself, because we all, you know, are responsible and accountable for designing our own lives. It's just an honor. It truly is an honor to represent OCB. And as long as I am there, I will promise you and commit that I will be there to hear whatever it is that you have to say. Sometimes it's not possible to act on it, and change doesn't happen overnight. But the kind of people that you are, that I feel in this room from the camaraderie that you know happens at OCB, the change in your emotional makeup and your academic makeup, and as you go through there, your confidence, we hope. I just, today I feel it here, and I want to tell you that it is so much of an honor to be with you. I hadn't planned to say that, so I better hurry up and get the things I planned to say done. I want to play a little game here, and I want you guys to listen real careful. And then I'm going to ask you some questions. There is a room that is fairly dark, except for a little light coming from a television. There is a boy lying on the floor with his arm around a big fluffy dog. There is a woman sitting at the end of a couch, and one hand is dipped down into the bowl. The other hand is holding a frosty glass. At the other end of the couch, there is a man that has a newspaper in front of his face. Next to him on the fireplace, there's a stack of Wall Street journals. Okay? Now, you can't cheat. All right. Anybody notice their neighbor cheating, let me know. Okay, so the boy is doing his homework, true or false? Anybody, speak up. False? Okay. The woman is having a before dinner drink, true or false? The father is a businessman, true or false? The mother is having hors d'oeuvres, true or false? We don't know what's in the bowl. Okay, let's go back now for a second, and I'm going to ask you to bear with me as we go through this. I said the boy is doing his homework. What if I were Miss Jones, and I called, and I said, this is Johnny's teacher. I assigned him to watch the presidential debates. Is he doing his homework?
Yes.
Really?
Well,
you don't know what's on the television. You
don't
know what time of day it is. You don't even know if the television's turned up. There's just a light coming from the television. You've got to listen and tell the truth. Okay, and the mother is having a before dinner drink. Now, is that true or false?
We don't know what time of day it is.
What else?
We don't know what's in the bowl.
We don't know what's in the bowl. We don't know what's in the glass. It could have been a frosty glass of orange juice. And do we know if she's really the mother?
No.
The father is a businessman, true or false? You said true, but what do you think now? I didn't say it was a father, and what else about that?
The magazines are not being read.
The newspapers aren't being read.
How do you know the newspapers aren't being read?
They're stacked.
Wall Street Journals, that would make you think he's a businessman, but I said he had it in front of his face. He could have been sleeping. Could have been, but Ellie, she's back there having fun. <She's> Okay, so what does this kind of show us? We can't make assumptions. What else?
We can't stereotype.
We ask people in the sighted world not to stereotype about us, don't we? And yet it is so easy for us to do that, because sometimes it is that we just want to know what's going on. I do. I always want to know what's going on. I'm so nosy. So it tells us, too, that we make these assumptions and we make up facts. Am I right or not?
Yes.
We're kind of like human meaning-making machines. You know, we'll make some kind of meaning out of something. So what I'm wanting to do today is to talk to you about the reality of what vision can really be. That we don't have to have perceptions or guesswork. And like I said, anytime you have a question about OCB, you call me. And I'll tell you the truth. And if I don't know the truth, I'll go try to find it. Any time that you want to know what it is that we see, ask yourself, what am I seeing? Is it accurate? What about families? What about the students? What about the teachers, the dorm counselors at OCB? What are they thinking? What are they seeing? What are they feeling? And those are the things that are really important, is for us to have a real vision. What are the legislators thinking? Anybody got the answer to that one? Let me know. Excuse me. So what you want to do in is ask yourself, okay, so this is my perception. Where did it come from? And how can I best serve OCB? And the way that's best is to look at from all people's sides. And I, again, am going to make a commitment to you. I cannot see it from just my eyes. And that has nothing to do with the fact that I'm totally blind. I cannot see it from just my eyes. I have to see it from everyone's eyes, and I would ask you to do the same. Help me help the students. Help OCB help the students by giving us the best feedback that you can get, by doing research, by finding facts, by not making assumptions, so that we don't look unfavorable to anyone. The taxpayers, the legislatures, because OCB has a purpose, and we see that when people go out and get jobs, when it saves their marriages and their families because they're able to go on doing the kinds of things they've wanted to do. I'm going to suggest to you today that there are different letters, or words, I'm sorry, that make up the letters OCB. Instead of Orientation Center for the Blind, the way I see it is the Orientation Center, definitely for the blind, but it also the O could stand for opportunities or options. How are we at OCB teaming up with you, with the families, with the individuals, with the counselors, in order to promote growth, both at home and in a work life of any student that comes through there? Now, we don't know the answer to how. I can guess with my perceptions and my past experiences, but I don't really know until we do a little research and we actually ask. And that's why some of you may be hearing from me, because I'm very interested. What happened to all of our students? Where do they go? What do they do? What did OCB do for them? You know, we want to hear more about that. Search for and have never-ending ceaseless opportunity to join with partners, and not just the community as we have it in this room, but also the community like employers that have technology that are interested in having dedicated, loyal, smart employees working for them. I've heard more employers say, I would hire blind people anytime if I knew how they could do the job and if I knew that they wanted the job. I've heard employers say that many times. And what I do is I say, well, when have you reached out to organizations for the blind or for people with disabilities? So the key is that we have to begin to partner and teach them, what is it that a blind person can do with a computer? What is it that a blind person can do with light probes? What is it that a blind person can do with color detectors, with scanners? What is it that blind people can do with very simple things that don't require a lot of high technology? We need to develop the options of employment through widespread investigation, through the utmost in creative thinking, and through training that is unsurpassed in order to improve the quantity and the quality of employment for our graduate students. And you out in the community are the ones that have the pulse on some of that. If you'll reach out, get it, tell me what you think. We're always open to that. Email me and let me know what you're thinking. And we're going to be going to the OCB alumni, I think that's all alumni, that is in the actual advisory committee. So the next thing, the C, we've got O is options and opportunities. The C is for choosing and choice. We want to choose and refine outcomes, the milestones. How do you get to those outcomes? How do students actually make their life what they themselves want it to be, not what somebody else wants it to be? One of the things is to collaborate with partners in order to get support, to learn what kind of jobs are being done by blind people all over this country. One is to clarify and to have those choices real clear, like, where are you going from here? What are you going to do? You want the mic, Albert?
Yes.
Okay, here you go. Right there it is.
Okay, I'd like to introduce Jeff Tom, our state president, just came in. Who else came in also?
Pete Rivera came in.
Pete, okay.
Fred Marin.
We already did. And is that Jane Cardis?
It is.
Okay, hello, Jane. Oh, good. Jane's on the advice committee.
Maybe you should go around again.
All right. Let's go around again because people are coming in for lunch. Ron, would you mind going around again real quick?
Sorry.
What year is this?
I hurt my heart again at 2000, and I did go back to work. Now I'm retired.
Hi, Kathy Morales. I graduated, I don't even know what year this is, 2006, and I'm going to City College.
Of what?
San Francisco.
Okay.
Sorry.
Of San Francisco, she said. Okay, I'm Jeff Tom.
I'm Connie Bateman from Sacramento, and I went to OCB summer of, what year was it? Oh, it was this year. Summer of 2010.
Last year.
I was on the fast track. That was last year. I'm sorry. 2009. I was on the fast track. I went for 2 months because I had to go back to work.
Okay. My name is Ron Bateman. I'm from Sacramento.
Anita March from Livermore, California, 1991, OCB.
David Mandel from Berkeley, 1966.
Richard Harmon, from a friend of the OCB.
David Harmon, 1960.
My name is Roxanne Stallings. I did not go to OCB. I'm a psychotherapist in El Cerrito, and I'm a friend of OCB.
My name is Evelyn Drury, and I went to OCB in 1969.
Hi, I'm Shirley Mayfield, and I'm a clinical psychologist, and I'm working with some people who are from OCB. Look forward to working with more.
I'm Jack Shivers, and I went to the VA school back in 2007.
I'm Elmer Chapson. I was at OCB in 1961 when it was still on Telegraph Avenue.
Good for you.
Hi, I'm Jane Cardis, having a senior moment here, but 25 years ago I went to OCB. And, I really was so resistant to go, but it's the best thing I ever did for myself in my whole life. I appreciate it so much. Al Gill was my counselor.
I'm Don Wilcox from Palo Alto. I'm the other half of Jane's ticket. She pleaded with me to help eat the lunch. And I graduated in 1996. I'm a nurse, and I ended up developing a new job for myself as a volunteer with the VISTA Center for the Blind.
My name is Pete Romero. I went to OCB June of 73 and then went to work for the Social Security Administration for many, many years after that. Okay.
We have one more here.
Fred Marin. I went to OCB in 1980 and worked after that and retired.
Thank you.
Okay,
I'm Patty Davis, and I actually read twice. I read in 71 and then back again in 99.
Hi, I'm Sheila Bolaños, and I just heard two psychologists or one psychotherapist. I'm also a clinical psychologist, and I would love to get together or at least sort of after this luncheon to talk about your practices and that kind of thing. I'm a clinical psychologist, also a drama therapist.
You're trying to find out where you are.
I'm still discovering myself.
No. Where are you?
Oh, where am I? I don't know. Where am I? I'm by the door, I think, over... Where am I?
She's sitting next to me over here.
That explains it. Okay. Okay.
All right, did everyone answer this? Okay, let's go back to Linda for a little bit, and you know.
You know, I realized as we were sitting here talking that I hadn't told you too much about who I am, and that I might just give you a little bit of information so you know, like, who is this person anyway, besides that I'm the person that was selected for this just awesome job. I was born in Ohio in a really small town that had no specialized anything, and my parents were very innovative. My father was a builder, and so he was always trying to figure out how else, where else, who else. And that's sort of how my parents raised me. I was totally blind starting at the age of 3 after glaucoma and cataracts. And I went to, they moved to California. I went to resource classrooms 80 miles from my home, so I lived as a foster child for a while. And then went to the state school for the blind in Ohio. And I managed to leave there with them recommending to my parents that they remove me because I hated the dorm life. I hated living with, I liked my home and my parents, and I didn't want to go to this dorm, so I made sure that they were recommending that I leave. That was in fifth grade. Hopefully I've changed since then. I went to Santa Ana Senior High School and finished. I was the only blind student there and finished there. And I believed that college was a great time to be able to travel and learn about the world. So going from a small college in Blair, Nebraska, to the University of California, and then the University of Hawaii, and then back to California to graduate and get 2 BAs and 1 master's degree. So that's kind of who I am, and I worked for a while for the president of Yamaha, who come to the United States, and I was sort of like his forerunner to make sure that his employees understood him. He was having trouble with his English, and it was my job to make sure that they understood. And then I worked for the Texas Commission for the Blind when we moved from California to Texas. I worked there at those days they called them a placement specialist, and that was my job to cover the whole state and to train all the vocational rehabilitation counselors in techniques for working with Focus 500 groups and employers and state agencies, and I didn't work much with the federal. We had somebody else working with that. I left there and started my own business with resume writing, interview training for about 6 years. We had a lot of companies failing in Texas, so a couple of companies actually contracted with my company to be able to do outplacement and get people hired for jobs. And it wasn't people with any... We had a few people with disabilities. And then I did ADA, FMLA, and workers' comp training for companies like Coca-Cola, IBM, 3M, Abbott Labs, and universities. And it was just an honor time for me to really learn. I learned so much from each company and from all the different situations they had in employment that they really weren't. I didn't think people were really discriminating. Actually, I thought they just didn't understand. They hadn't been taught. They didn't know what was possible. And when they learned what was possible, then what I figured out was most people are just scared to death to accept it. Because, and this is just the Linda Woodbury theory, this probably isn't anybody else's, but I thought that it might have been because, you know, if you're black today, you'll be black tomorrow. If you're Hispanic today, you'll be Hispanic tomorrow. But if you're sighted today, you could be blind tomorrow. And it's one of the biggest things that people fear in the United States, you know, or all around the world. So I learned that people more are afraid, and what most people that we run into even today need is to just have you know where they're coming from and work with them from where they are to where you want them to be. And so that was my job then. I decided I was hired in 99 as the Disability Services Coordinator for the City of San Diego. And it was my responsibility to manage construction projects and work on programmatic changes with the city. And then I came here in February. First day of March was my first day on the job on the campus. So when I came to the campus, I've always thought about this, changing but having the OCB letters stand for options and opportunities. The O would be options and opportunities. The C would be choice. Having people be so clear about the choices that are available, the kinds of work that is possible, because so many people come in as they go blind, they have no idea what's possible. So having clear choice, and that is kind of where we left off when we stopped for a while and had our lunches and so on. And in order to have clear choice, the counselors, the students, I think it's really important, the families. I'm hoping down the road to look at how do we get in families involved, or partners, or special friends involved, so that once people come to OCB and then they leave, that they don't have sort of a backpedaling going on in their life. So we want to look at that. We want to look at what do you guys think is important in terms of how we can support our students. You guys have been out there now after being students. How do we actually find out what do we need to clarify? And those are some of the things that I'm going to task the advisory committee with, to ask them to help us with that, to give us some ideas, so that each challenge that comes up in a student's life, or as a matter of fact in the administrator's job or the teacher's job, how can we meet that by still giving the students that C, that clear choice? So we have the O for options and opportunities. We have the C for choice and having it be a clear choice no matter what the challenge is. And then the last word, B, I start thinking about what is kind of the opposite of being blind, or what people think. Blind is dark and stagnated and like that. What the opposite of that would be benefit. What's the boldly moving forward in order to achieve the benefits? What is it? So right now at Orientation Center for the Blind, we are undergoing, as of about August or September, we'll be starting our maintenance and repair project, and that will last us probably about a year. You know, when you get contractors involved and you have changing of things because you run into something that wasn't expected, takes extra time. You never know. It doesn't happen overnight. But we have a lot of support from our students and from our staff about this. We're real excited about it. And I think Joe will be talking about that later this afternoon, won't you, Joe?
A little bit, yes.
A little bit. He'll be addressing that. He's my boss, so... Gosh, I guess I should have been nervous. I hadn't thought about that. But he's actually a pretty good guy. You know, he doesn't bite too often. So we're in good shape here. And Kathy Bales here, she can attest to that. Right, Kathy?
Absolutely.
He's not too mean. In the B, the benefits, is for us to look at how can we move forward. And one of those ways is to do some maintenance and repair to make sure that structurally and programmatically our campus moves forward. How can we keep a hands-on with technology? Well, one of the things that I'm looking forward to doing is innovating ways that I can have employers interact with us on campus, having vendors on campus, not being able to recommend one over another, but having students have that thing that we just talked about called choice. And then to transfer whatever is learned at OCB, the skills, right out into the home area to make sure there's some applications, so that you learn orientation and mobility at OCB, but then when the students get back home, they've got to have something back home to hang on to and to transfer those skills. So we're going to take a look at what is it we have to do for some transferring of skills. And then the last thing is to do some research. What happened to all of you guys? And what's happening? What do we expect for the people that our students now. So we'll be doing a research project. Warren Hayes is developing that right now. He was the acting director between Mike Cole and now I call myself the new Mike Cole. So I've got some really big shoes to follow, I'll tell you. And every place I go, people just loved Mike. And so I'd say, well, I don't know that I'm going to be as popular, but what I'm going to try to do is do as good of a job as Mike did. So, again, I'm going back to say, allow your perceptions, allow your vision to be as broad as it can be. Don't have funnels. You know, if you turn a funnel, you know, it's got a pointed end and then it's got a great big end. If you put that great big end over your eyes and you were a sighted person, you would only be able to see a little bit out there. You take that funnel off and you can see a whole bunch. I'm challenging this group. Take off your funnels in terms of what's possible for the future. Keep in mind that we have to work under certain situations, and one of them right now is a budget that has taken jobs away from people where they're losing their homes, their cars, and some of them, their dignity. Keep that in mind. They don't happen to be blind or disabled. They just happen to be people. So I don't know about necessarily sighted people or blind people or people who are disabled in other ways, but I know people. And it's a hardship when you have to go through a loss of job and home and sometimes family, cars, ability to travel. And that's what the state is facing right now with this huge budget crisis. And the governor and the people at the top are doing their very best to make sure that the tax dollars are spent in a way which still allows blind people to have the services that they can have. And it's people like Joe and Kathy and Deb, who is involved in our BE program, and others who are just struggling to make sure on a daily basis. I want us to spend our time progressing. I don't want us to spend our time fighting. I want us to spend our time challenging one another, helping one another, supporting, being in a team, being able to say, okay, we've got to agree that we disagree about something, but the difference between disagreement and alignment is that I may disagree with Kathy on something over here about something about field services, but the one thing Kathy and I can do is we can align on how then we're going to do it. We may not both agree completely, but we will align on a process because we know the job has to get done. We cannot keep on fighting. Kathy and I don't fight anyway, but it's an example. Guys, I want to thank you for it really is so much of an honor to be here. Thank you for including me in your meal and to have me here. Come and see us sometime. We'd like to see you. Albert, do you want the mic back?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
I'd like to take a few minutes and have Joe Saviors and Kathy speak a little bit, giving us their impression of what's happening. But let's see. Can someone... Do we have any questions for Linda? First of all,
Linda, congratulations. It's Jeff Tom on your appointment. It's been a while since we've run into each other. And as I say, I want to congratulate you and the department on grabbing you away. What I want to know is when, and I'm not really addressing in my question the short term because for a variety of reasons, the budget being just one of many, the short change never happens quickly in the short term anyway. But when you look and come up with your vision and the shared vision for OCB in the long term, are you going to try and push the envelope to throw out any assumptions about the models that have been used in the past and the ways that may have worked 30 years ago and don't work today?
Well, yes. thank you, Jeff, for your comments. And I think on a daily basis, my stance is that we will ask all of our stakeholders, from you as the consumers, to the students who are there currently, to the immediate graduates, to find out how successful were certain types, methods, methodologies that we use, classes we offered. So I think the answer to that, I'm not trying to be vague, but it has to be a little vague in that I would say we would do our best to always be reexamining. I'm a very open-minded person, or I hope I am, and I'm always up for the goal of getting the client to where they want to be. When I was in Texas and worked on job restructuring, job analysis, job modification, rehab engineering, it was always so fun to come out here and see people like Bill Gary, who, I used to go sit with Bill, and he'd pull out all these little toys. Yeah, he had so many. You guys know he has lots of toys. And it was always amazing to me because I hadn't known that you could, do so much with toys that weren't made for blind people, just anybody. And so I said, gosh, we have got to make sure that we do task analysis. We got to make sure we do analysis of what, and not long, drawn-out, academic, years-on-end study, but what is it that people need and what do they want and where's the technology, where's the innovation to be able to do it? So answer, yes. If a method that was used 30 years ago still works, of course we'll keep it. If it's not working, we'll modify it or find a new one in order to make it work. Now, like you say, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take, it's going to take a while. And I could sit here and tell you vision after vision after vision that I have that I would like. But, I'm just the person that pushes the paper and gets the word from everybody and says, okay, this is the direction it looks like. Well, to go. Here we go. Be up for the ride. Okay?
Hi. The budget is in a tough spot. I have two questions. If you had to take $100,000 out of your budget, where would it come from? And second, if you had $100,000 more in your budget, what would it go to?
Okay, one comment. I went back to the orientation center from 72 to 73, and you're talking about involving families in this whole process, which I think is really great, because when I was there, the very subtle thing that I got out of the whole experience, which, it was a good experience, but kind of like, you've got to do this in spite of your family. Like the family was kind of the enemy. And they didn't really come out and say that, but it was, they did it in very subtle ways. So I commend you for what you're trying to do. And the other thing I wanted to know is, when I was there, I think I wasted probably 3 or 4 hours a day, and those of you may know what I wasted it on. There were certain classes, everybody had the same curriculum. Is the curriculum now tailored toward each student? If they need extra mobility, if they need this, if they don't need Braille, can they put it, that energy and time into something else?
I remember the questions if I don't get to answer something. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to address the gentleman's question first. I would, if I had to take $100,000 out of the budget, it would be, we're pretty bare bones right now. It would be a tough job. And I have to say that I really don't know the answer to that, because we're already stripped as far as we can probably be stripped. However, everybody in my staff currently are the kind of people that would step up to the plate and do whatever it is they have to do. They're those kind of people. I just love all of them. And they're all ready to work as hard as they can work. So I know one thing. I wouldn't take it out of their salary. That is a given. If I had an extra $100,000, I really want
the students to learn that it really is okay to be a blind person, to be comfortable in your own skin, that there are things that can happen. So I would have to get the staff together and say, what can we spend this $100,000 on that will really make a difference? Plus, wherever we got that $100,000 from might have a command for us. Debbie, in terms of your question, the curriculum is not the same for any two students that I know of. And it could be just because those two students need the same thing. Now, there, as a matter of fact, there is one student who was about ready to graduate, but really for the objective and the goal that that student had, wanted to have more and become much better familiar with the internet and with the computer. The computer teacher agreed that for that particular purpose. So the person stayed on campus and we stopped the Braille lessons, not because the person couldn't do Braille, but because they needed the speed of the computer and for the particular goal they were going to. So the person stayed on campus an extra few weeks to have just computer. And I think we put some cooking in there, too, because he wanted to make sure that he lived by himself, and he wanted to make sure he didn't eat bad foods. He was really getting into the health food kick. So that was good, you know, as far as he was concerned. So I think, did I answer all your questions, I think? Okay. I just wanted to say that the Seniors with Vision Loss has a booklet called Failing Sight and the Family Plight, and I'll see that you get one because that sounds like something you might be interested in, and we're also working on a new edition, which will be out in some time, but this one is great about the families and getting them to understand.
Please make sure I get that or no comedy did it. I'd appreciate that.
I will mail it to you as soon as I get home. Thank you.
Hi, this is Connie Bateman. I just went to OCB recently. Debbie, further answer your question, I didn't need Braille. So what I ended up doing was tutoring the students, some of the students in the Braille classes. But my question really is, as a student, as I went through the curriculum, what the two things that I noticed were missing were, number one, dealing with a psychological and emotional aspect of coping with blindness. You can have all the skills, but if you don't have the emotional and psychological ability to deal with your blindness, it's pretty difficult. And so that I didn't see addressed. And the other area was actually the employment aspect. There were a couple of us who were fortunate enough to already have jobs to go back to, but some of the people who go through there, they're really newly blinded. They were sighted before, and when they get out, they have no idea what they're going to do. And I think that's kind of ironic that here we have a rehab center, and rehab's paying for us to go there, vocational rehabilitation, and there's no employment component. So is that going to be addressed?
It's always good to hear somebody that coaches other students. Is this going off? Okay. It's always good to hear that somebody's coaching other students because, you know, not any one person, I believe this in for the world, not any one person has all the right answers, and we certainly can always use the help. That was a donation toward our $100,000 deficit that she offered. You are absolutely hitting the target, you guys, on the two things that are at the base of my heart, and that is that if, first of all, the person is not comfortable with being who they are and what they are, if all of us aren't comfortable, then the only way we can be right sometimes is to make others wrong, and we lash out at other people meaninglessly, but it doesn't come across that way. So I think also it will give everyone a wonderful opportunity to share easier, honestly, if they can feel comfortable. So yes, the psychological component, and we are addressing that. We now have an incredible woman who is there as a senior vocational rehabilitation counselor, and she actually works with the students. She has people in her office literally 8 hours a day working on
the psychosocial aspects and also on employment, and has come up with some incredible ideas toward employment. As far as the employment aspect of it, absolutely, that's a component that I'm, that was my background, that's what I'm interested in. I hope to start putting some things in place for that. It's not going to happen by the summertime. It probably won't necessarily happen by the fall, but as I said to you, I want to have employers interact with our students by bringing perhaps employers to the campus with for panels to see employment fair type of thing, to work with our students on what is it that you have to do to be a good employee. What is it employers are looking for? We also have the blind law class now on Mondays. They have a chance to talk about those kinds of things. You had those before? Oh, this is every Monday. And we now have, once in a while, people who come on to campus who demonstrate how certain pieces of equipment are being used in the workplace. So, you know, we're getting there, and I'm glad to hear that that's something that you want, because, of course, that's my passion. And I think also I don't hesitate to stop any time that I'm on that campus day or night to talk to students when they're really hurting about being blind and they don't know how to handle it. And I don't know the answer, but I'm certainly willing to brainstorm with them.
I'd like to let's see, does anyone have the time?
1 o'clock.
Oh, I'd like to just take a quick time and have Joe Xavier and Kathy Bales say a word to us.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. I'll be brief. I know that we're needing to get to general session shortly. This is my first time attending the OCB luncheon, and hopefully it won't be my last. It's been a very fun, engaging discussion. There's a couple things that I would add to what Linda has already stated, and I think it'll pick up on questions that both Jeff and this individual asked about the budget cut and the budget increase, as well as some of the other curriculum questions. I think they all beg two concepts, and number one is, where do we want to be with OCB in 2020, 2025, 2030? And then to that end, what are our priorities? Because ultimately the question about budget, while it may be one that is new to Linda, it is one that we face routinely, and it's new to Linda only because she's new to state service. It is one that we face routinely. And so establishing a clear vision of where we want this organization to be, with all of your participation, the stakeholder, and many, many more, is very important to establishing what are the priorities that we will place so that we can then act, plan, and deliver accordingly. There's a lot of good ideas in here. I have made notes. I would invite you to continue to communicate with Linda, to continue to communicate. I'm sure Jeff will take your comments and forward them on. And there's a lot of partnerships to be enhanced and to be developed as we move forward. So thank you for the opportunity, and I'll turn it over to Kathy.
Got it. Hi there. I'm Catherine Bales, and District Administrator with Blind Child Services, and I'm always happy to come to the OCB luncheon. I'm so happy to be able to be a colleague now again with Linda. We both come from San Diego, and Linda and I had a great relationship down there, and when I heard she was coming to OCB, I was just thrilled. I couldn't tell you how thrilled I was. So I think we're going to see some positive changes going on with OCB, with her visions, with her innovative ideas, and with her focus on employment and trying to help people to achieve in that arena, as well as their independence and feeling good in their own skin. I like that. Blind Field Services is the feeder for OCB. We're the ones that provide the consumers who go to OCB. And I am always encouraging our counselors to work with their consumers to go to OCB, check it out, see if it's the right program for them. And very often it really is. So So, but they have to go there. They have to see what it's like. They have to meet the staff, and we do allow that to happen. There's, I think it's at a census now of about 28 students there from all over the state, and I hope that we can continue to have this really positive relationship. Linda and Mary Beth are going to be coming to our SB 105 training next week, and I'm looking forward to them participating in that training. That is our district-wide training for all of the BFS staff. The counselors and the supervisors get together, and we've got a packed agenda of specialized training for our staff, and I'm so glad that Linda and Mary Beth will be able to be there, and they'll get to meet the counselors. I want to make sure that we have that communication going from Mary Beth to the counselors and vice versa, so that we work with the consumer as a real team. Because that's what's necessary. Okay, thank you. It's very, very nice to be here. I'll hold it up.
I'm coming.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and I wanted to just close with a brief, any last thoughts some people have, or would anyone like to say something to us and give some thoughts about what you'd like to hear about maybe for the fall meeting? Anyone have any thoughts about that?
Raise your hand if you have any thoughts.
Okay. All right. Well, our board will get together and we'll work something out for the next meeting, and hopefully maybe Kathy or Linda or Joe might be able to be back in the fall to give us an update of what's going on. But we'll be in touch, and thank you all for coming. Anyone like to move? We adjourn. Okay, any second? All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Okay, we're adjourned.